This is the September 25th, 2024 convening of the Clark County Board of Equalization for the assessment year 2024 for taxes payable in 2025. Board members present are Chairman Daniel Weaver, Lisa Bodner, John Marks, Joel Klein, Terry Hagberg, and Gloria Matthews. First, we will do in the swearing of the board members. Please all raise your right hand now and repeat after me. I will perform my duties
as a member of the Clark County Board of Equalization in a fair and impartial manner.
Perfect. Thank you all.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all. So that has been sworn in. For any of you who are new, you might not have heard, we did lose one of our members, John Rose. So we have three alternates right now, Terry, Gloria, and Joel. So like I was telling them a little earlier, Gloria, we will reach out to you as needed. I know you'll be covering for us next week one day. And that'll be kind of how it works. Before we move on, our next matter of business is to vote for board chair. So I am going to... Hopefully, we'll see how this works. Michelle says there's been problems in the past, but I'm going to send a poll to you all with the three regular board members, and you will choose the board chair. I did practice this yesterday, so I'm hoping it works. If not, it sounds like Michelle has had you email her before.
John, do we want to hear a speech from you?
No. Yes, John, I'd like to hear your speech.
I refuse.
All right.
So is it going to be on the screen or should I look at it on my phone?
It will be on the screen. One moment. I just got to make it. I looked at what it looks like for my husband. He and I practiced with a few things yesterday, so it should work. All right. Board choice.
Did he get elected?
He wants to be vice chair.
He knows a lot about assessments from my job, but I think he might not be qualified to work on decisions with me. All right. So it should come up on the right-hand side. You might have to click the chat window, but it should say board chair choice, and you should see the three options to choose from.
Well, I see it there.
Yep.
It's coming. It's a Slido on mine.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Yep, it'd be under Slido.
Okay, there we go.
I think I'm missing one person. Okay. That is everyone. It looks like Daniel Weaver will be the chair of the Board of Equalization for 2024 for taxes payable in 2025. Congratulations, Dan. We have one.
Does it demand a recount?
It's just because no one else wants to do it.
Well, I appreciate you taking on the responsibility, Dan. We're going to do one more vote, and this is going to be for vice chair. So I will push this in just a moment. It'll be again from our regular board members, excluding Dan now. And that should appear just as the other one did. And the vice chair just serves when the chair is not around. All right. It looks like, John Marks, you would be our vice chair. Do you wish to accept?
Well, for 1 year, Lisa's going to help me.
Okay. I'll help you, John.
All right. So John Marks will be our vice chair for the 2024 assessment year for 2025 taxes. And that completes all of that, which is great. Congratulations, both of you. Let's see. Do we have any other major business? We... have no hearings today, so nothing to cover there. We'll start, like I said, our 2024 hearings for October 22nd. I have reached out to the council to extend our reconvening session to the whole year, so we'll get that signed and hopefully back to us soon. We talked about scheduling alternates. I'll reach out, like I said, as opportunities become available. Just let me know if that's a possibility for you. You don't have to. It's never required. And then I guess we have some time. Did anyone want to discuss anything from their Board of Equalization classes or anything about the year that they have questions about? I can also put the assessment roles on the screen so you all can take a look at them if you'd like.
The only thing I could say, do we want to discuss our hearings conference call that we had with the DOR?
Yeah.
John, you're the one that really wanted to glean the most out of that. Do you have any summary that you can give the rest of the folks about our conversation with the DOR? And it was primarily regarding prime developable property and how they classified it and how it worked.
Sure. I'll try to lay something on you, on everybody. I think we're all aware that the prime developable land seems to take gigantic value increases. We've seen things like from 3 million to 13 million in 1 year in this entity. And it has to do, of course, with developing land for subdivisions and whatever. So what we had looked at as a board, what's been appealed to us, if I remember right, it was like 67% of those have been reduced, and that includes a number that the assessor himself reduced. And so it was just this ongoing thing. We're thinking if maybe we could take that class of properties, which is 1,051 properties that are designated as prime land, and maybe do a review and a reduction or whatever of the whole 1,051 properties. So we were talking to the state about that. You know, can we do it? That's what, you know, we're a board of equalization. We do something to equalize that. But I think we were pretty well told that it's there. It is, the law is covered, but there are equal or greater number of other rules and regulations that cover it up even deeper. So you're really not going to do much as far as trying to equalize the whole class. But the only thing we can continue to do is do what we do as a board and forget it, because we really can't force the assessor to do anything. We don't seem to be able to get any great amount of help and assistance through the state. So that's kind of where I came away from it, saying I still don't know what equalization means if it doesn't mean we can level values, but I guess it doesn't. So,
One of the cases that was recently thrown back at us, or it came back because Peter appealed it, and I forget the details, but it wasn't the property valued at $3 million originally, and we wrote it down to $900,000. And Peter appealed it to the state, and they came back and said they agreed with us, but they wanted to clarify the reasoning for it. And we sort of hinted at it because we had a comparable property that was valued in the same class as this property, and we used that as a comps for this property and wrote it down to $900,000. But they... and there's a little bit of contention here because the lady we were talking to at the DOR didn't necessarily agree with what the BTA came out with, but the BTA agreed with our valuation, but they said the reasoning is that one of the things you cannot do is
tax someone out of their property.
Tax a property if it's not zoned and cannot be developed at this point without something being done. But they sort of indicated it was if it was zoned a different zone, you can't tax it as prime developable until the zoning has changed. And they agreed, the the DOR lady disagreed with it. She said it's not just because it's that it's not zoned that way, but it is one of the major factors in determining whether it should be prime developable. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but that's the reason we wrote it down, because it wasn't zoned and it wasn't, it was in properties, in with properties that had a lesser valuation.
Yeah, part, I might add to that, you got me coming awake here, Dan, but part of the problem appears to us to be that you can take a piece of raw land and even say it's in an urban holding area, like out at Camas or around Battleground, even Vancouver, and it's just vacant. Public water is not at the site. Maybe public sewers are not at the site definitely. There are no streets in. You've got various types of wetlands and other governmental restrictions on it. And it appears that the assessor is taking that land and saying it could be developed to, say, 100 lots. Well, those 100 lots will sell for X number of dollars. Therefore, the value of the land is X number of dollars. And our contention is, yes, that might be so, that it could be there, but it's not on the day of assessment. The day of assessment, it is a cow pasture, perhaps, or just a, you know, the vacant land, but it's not a finished subdivision. So didn't feel that people ought to pay the tax on what the value might be, you know, and what the improvements might be in 2 years. But,
yeah, there was one
to win that argument.
There was one up in the center area that we did that Hinton was developing, and they valued it at the value the lots would sell for as a finished, you know, development. But, you know, Hinton went through all the expenses they have to go through to get that property approved, and what they have to pay for sewers and, you know, roads and all that thing to get it to the point where you got a lot that you can sell for $200,000 or whatever the number is. They're just throwing a number of saying, okay, you got 50 lots at $200,000 a piece. This is the value. You can't just do that. You got to consider all the costs to get that piece of property to that position. And that's not what the assessor is doing. So,
no, that's a prospective market value. The assessor's looking at as-is market value or assessed value, as-is. So as-is, you have to consider what a buyer would be willing to pay for it.
Right.
You know, it has that potential. What is somebody going to pay for that potential?
Right. And, he uses typically a schedule of properties that have sold, but all the properties that are in that schedule, a good number of them are all in Ridgefield because that's where all a major portion of development's going on. But the sewer's right next door, the power's right next door, the street's right next door with a stub into this area. So, you know, all the guy has to do is lift the gate and build the road right through there and hook the sewer up and all that. So it's much more developable than a property that's out there and you got to run the sewer for half a mile or a mile to get to that property. So they're really valuing them. Valuing people out of their property because you've got somebody that's living on a piece of property that's two or three or five or
12. It's legally, which would be subdivided and platted and all the good stuff and accepted. It really isn't. So,
well, you'd have to look at other 20 acre or about that size parcels with the same potential that sold.
That's right.
Right.
And that's
what they're comparing to the properties that are right next door to a development that, you know, all you got to do is, you know, just extend the road, extend the sewer pipe and all that. Not one that you got to run a sewer pipe for a half a mile to get there.
That's faulty valuation.
I agree. we all agree with that. We've been kicking them out
things,
as we can.
But tell them what Ricky said.
What?
Yeah.
About just what we're talking about. What was her take on it?
She didn't agree with them.
Really? She thought it was perfectly right to do it the way they're doing it.
Yeah.
They are. So
one thing, Joel, like they provided us like 40 sales for our meeting with the state. We had like 40 land sales for prime developable land. Those land sales ranged from a $400,000 one-acre site to a like 67 acres that sold for $18 million that it sold for. Well, if you're, I look at that from my appraisal background, which I shouldn't let in there, but it gets there. If I'm looking at a 30-acre parcel, I'm not going to consider sales of a 1 acre as comparable, and I would be highly skeptical of using a 60-acre sale. I would be looking for properties in the 20 to maybe 40-acre range, but other than that, they lose comparability really fast in my mind, but
I like to say if I was looking for a property like that and my broker or realtor showed me that property as an alternative to one that I was buying, I'd fire them.
So
it's not what I'm looking for.
Well, that's okay, but the assessor draws this regression line and, you know, it says if it falls close to that line, then that's what the value is. Well, yeah. Doesn't work. All right. Anyway. We have nothing else for the annual meeting, so we can close that if we want to. And then if we want to BS some more, we can. I just want to bring that up because that is one thing that we did just recently discuss, that prime developable land, because we thought it was a problem area for us and that the assessor was misvaluing it.
Sounds good.
Anything else that we want to bring up as a matter of business of the Board of Equalization?
I have made a few changes this year, including adding.
Do we want to close that then?
Hold on, one second. Sorry,
you're muted.
I know. Can you all hear me now?
She's discussing one high second. Finance on the phone.
Yeah. Oh gosh. What else?
Nice.
So we're supposed to get a lot of rain.